Effective weed control for next year's soybean crop starts now. A fall application of Sonic or Aphoria herbicide from Corteva Agriscience delivers broad-spectrum control of yield-robbing, broadleaf weeds like mare's tail and kochia before they establish. Plus, offers a long-lasting residual up to the time you begin your weed management program next spring. For more on controlling weeds with a fall herbicide application, visit Corteva.us or contact your local ag retailer. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. Farm Talk. I'm Mick Caird, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Well, as we mentioned earlier, the U.S. House Ag Committee had a big hearing yesterday morning. They marked up five bills, a lot of them all related to agriculture, obviously. That's the process of legislation. They do a markup, and then they send it on to the full House panel. But one of the main ones that we want to talk about now is the Cattle Contract Library. And we're going to get the thoughts of the Director of Government Affairs and Regulatory Policy for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Tanner Beamer. Hello, Tanner.
Good morning, Mick.
Well, we are it's on to the House now for the Cattle Contract Library. I guess as you watch the legislation, everybody seemed to be in pretty much full support of the Cattle Contract Library legislation.
You know, I think that's right. I think that this is one of those issues that has widespread support, both on Capitol Hill and across the industry writ large. You know, there was a meeting in Phoenix earlier this year where members from our organization and the Livestock Marketing Association, the National Farmers Union, RCAF USA, and the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. And as you are and your listeners are probably aware, there's not always a bunch of agreement on us on cattle market issues. However, this was one of three things that we said we can all agree on and all advocate for. And I think that it is that widespread industry support that led to this legislation moving through the process so quickly. It was introduced by Congressman Johnson earlier this week. And then, as you said, the House Ag Committee marked it up on a voice vote yesterday. So they didn't even have to do a roll call. It was just so widely supported by members of that committee.
And a lot of good testimony on all of this. And again, everybody in support. And then, you know, U.S. Cattlemen's Association, the Livestock Marketing Association, all of the people who attended the meeting in Phoenix earlier this year, well, except RCAF USA. They came out yesterday afternoon, not in total support. They have a few, they think there is some chinks in the armor. But what will the Cattle Contract Library do in the short term?
You know, if this bill were to be enacted, if it were to make it through the House and the Senate as well, it would require the Secretary of Agriculture to establish and then maintain a library of all the contracts made available by packers to producers for the purchase of fed cattle. And what that would do is it would allow producers to examine other contracts that are available to other producers. And maybe when they go in to negotiate their own pricing arrangements with packers, they have more information at their disposal to go into those negotiations. And as we know, whether it's with lobbying in Washington, D.C., or making those pricing negotiations with packers, information is power. And we're wanting to give as much power as we possibly can to cattle producers.
Now, obviously, you know, in all of the testimony yesterday in the House Ag Committee, most everybody said, okay, this is one piece in the big jigsaw puzzle that is going to fix this problem. So what else needs to happen?
You know, that's a great question, and I think that that's a really good point. You know, even Congressman Johnson, who's the lead sponsor of the bill, said yesterday that this wasn't going to be a silver bullet solution, but it is a step in the right direction. You know, we had another hearing in the House Agriculture Committee here a couple weeks back, and our vice president, Todd Wilkinson from South Dakota, testified in that hearing. And he said that, you know, along with market transparency, which includes us advocating for a contract library, we need to see immediately an increase in beef processing capacity. We need more hooks in the system to process through our current supplies of fed cattle. And that's a big part of bringing leverage back to cattle producers in those pricing negotiations. We also need to see more oversight of the markets. And part of that goes back to the Justice Department. They're looking at the purchasing behavior of the big meat packers in the aftermath of both the Holcomb fire and COVID-19 to see if there was anti-competitive behavior. We really need to see the results of that investigation so that we know whether there was illicit behavior in the aftermath of those two black swan events. And then we also need, of course, and this has been a high priority for the industry for a very long time, we need to see some improvements in price discovery. We are trending in the right direction as far as negotiated trades throughout the entire five-area region and the entire country overall, but more progress is needed to ensure price discovery. And so that's why the contract library bill as a market transparency tool is just one small piece of a broader puzzle. We really need to have a full-focused, multifaceted approach to try and remedy the adverse marketing conditions that we've seen over the last several years.
This is, I guess, maybe modernization of some legislation that was started back in the 70s. And then the hog industry said, okay, yeah, well, we can improve on that. And hey, let's have a contract library of our own. And that seems to be working out pretty well for the hog production and marketing in the country.
Yeah, so the swine contract library is actually teed up via the Packers and Stockyards Act, and it's held at the Packers and Stockyards Division. This legislation is a little bit unique in that it goes about authorizing a contract library via the Agricultural Marketing Act. It's a very nuanced little difference between the two, but what is different about this one is that because it goes through the Ag Marketing Act, there's a higher likelihood that the Market News Division of USDA is going to be the one to warehouse all of this information and maintain the library. And they're the ones that already receive all the information from packers and publish a myriad of reports on a twice daily, daily, weekly, monthly basis under livestock mandatory reporting. And so this is something that we have high confidence that will be beneficial for producers. It is still subject to USDA's rules of confidentiality. So the specific details of, you know, packer A and feeder B are not going to be made public. It's more of an aggregation of data that's more helpful for producers overall.
Visiting with Tanner Beamer, who is the Director of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Tanner, how about the Texas study that said some of the impacts from changing the way things are being done now will have unintended negative consequences for cattle producers? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that was a very comprehensive study that was done at the request of the House Agriculture Committee. You know, back at the height of COVID, when our markets were in complete and total disarray and volatility was the name of the day, then Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson and then Ranking Member Mike Conaway asked the USDA Office of the Chief Economist to put together a report on cattle markets. And USDA made this request of Texas A&M, and they pulled together a huge list. I think it's over 10. It might be as many as a dozen well-respected livestock economists from land-grant institutions across the country to provide insight into cattle markets. And yes, one of the takeaways from that was that hasty legislating of broad sweeping policies, and I think they're mostly referring to nationwide blanket mandates for cash trade, would have some unintended consequences. As a matter of fact, I think that some of the research done by Dr. Kuntz of Colorado State in that study suggested that the short-term impacts of a nationwide cash mandate would result in a $2 billion hit within the industry, and then over the course of 10 years in the long run, a $16 billion hit to the industry in lost revenue opportunities. And that's why we're so focused on issues like the contract library that have widespread support, that is really more geared towards giving more information to producers to go out and have their own opportunities to make those negotiations on their own behalf based upon what's best for them and their business model.
Now, getting into the business of predicting Congress is a dangerous road to go down to, but yeah, man, this legislation was introduced earlier this week. It's already been marked up in committee. It goes to the full House. Obviously, the Senate has to, for everything to become law. How quick do you see this happening?
You know, and I think you are absolutely correct. Making predictions like that is a bit of a risky business, but, you know, my crystal ball isn't in the best shape. I should have bought the extended warranty on it, I suppose. But
maybe you'll get a phone call asking you to extend the warranty there.
Exactly. But what I see right now is a lot of desire from lawmakers on both sides of the Capitol in both parties to do something for cattle producers. And I hate to sound like a broken record on this, but because this has such broad support within the industry, I think that this has a higher likelihood of getting over the finish line. Whether that happens before the end of the year or early in the second session of the 117th Congress next year remains to be seen. But I think that the odds of this legislation moving forward, either as a standalone package or far more likely as part of a bigger legislative vehicle, I think the odds are pretty good.
And again, in the words of Dusty Johnson of South Dakota, one piece in a big, big jigsaw puzzle. So, all right, Tanner.
Yes, sir.
Tanner, thank you very much for the visit. Tanner Beamer, Director of Government Affairs and Regulatory Policy for National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the work you do.
Thank you.
Talk to you again later.